Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Evolvepreneur Secret Show for Entrepreneurs, and I'm your host, Brian Silverthorne. And my mission is always to help entrepreneurs make a difference in their businesses and to help them navigate the challenging worlds of startup, growth, or relaunch. And today we're going to dig deep with our guest and get you some best concepts and strategies to fast track your business. So today's special guest is Coach Jim Johnson, and Coach Johnson is an authority on teamwork, leadership, and realizing your dreams. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
Good, good. Why don't you start by giving us a little bit of background of how you got to where you are today and what your focus is now?
Sure. So just to give you a quick, I came from a really sports background, and I actually played high school basketball for my father, so it got in my blood. And after I graduated from college, I knew that I wanted to follow my father's footsteps and be a teacher and a high school basketball coach, and I did that for 35 years. Interesting enough, I got a head coaching job at 25 years old at a high school close to where I grew up in Rochester, New York. And I did so well, I led that team to 17 consecutive losses, and then they fired me. So needless to say, we all go through adversity in our life, and I got one pretty early in my professional life. Fortunately, though, I was able to turn that around and ended up being a head coach of two high schools in my hometown of Greece, New York, the largest suburb of Rochester, and ended up having quite a bit of success. How I actually, though, transitioned to the world I'm doing now, where I've become an author, I'm a speaker, and I actually am a podcast host myself now, is that in 2006, I had a young man that was my team manager. He was on the autism spectrum. His name was Jason McElwain. The world now knows him as J-Mac. And J-Mac really and I became quite attached. And he tried out for our team three consecutive years, never made it. But he was just so loyal and committed that I told him I was going to give him a gift for our final home game, which we call senior night for his senior year. I got him in with about 4 minutes to go, and he shot an air ball in his first shot. In fact, he missed it by about 6 feet. And I kid people that I know you're not supposed to pray in the public schools, but I was praying pretty dear hard. I was hoping that he could at least get one basket. He missed his second shot, but it hit the rim. So I thought, all right, God's starting to listen. And then he made a three-pointer. And Brian, I thought the world can't be better than this. God must be a basketball fan. Not only has J-Mac scored, he's got a three-pointer. Well, interesting enough, Jason's boyhood idol was the late, great Kobe Bryant. And as I kid people, for the last 3 minutes, he turned into Kobe and he starts making shot after shot. And I'm going to come back and finish the story, but I want to fast forward 5 months after that game. Jason's at the ESPYs in Los Angeles, and he's up for the greatest sports moment of the year. And the four finalists was his idol. Kobe Bryant had scored 81 points in an NBA game and was also one of the finalists, and he beat him out for the ESPY. How did he do that? Well, after making that first three-pointer, he made another three-pointer. Then he made a shot where his foot was on the line, and he missed a couple. Then he made a couple more, and then it was like a storybook ending. He actually makes a shot at the buzzer about 2 feet behind the arc, and the place just erupted. They ran on the court. Our players put him up on our shoulders. And our public address announcer comes on, and at that point, I had no idea how many points he scored. And they said, the leading scorer for the Trojans tonight, J-Mac, with 20 points. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he'll play the whole game. He scored 160 because he did 20 points in 4 minutes. And then interesting enough is fast forward 4 weeks later, we won our first championship. And then Jason came back and helped me for my last 9 years, and we won 5 more championships. So I kid people, for a small fee, I will rent them out to you. But that actually, I did stay in teaching and coaching for another decade after that game, but I started to ask to be speak about the game, and I developed a speech called Dreams Really Do Come True that I was traveling the country. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, I was working with a manager, and she said, Coach, you know, you study leadership so much, you should do a leadership program. And so I started doing a leadership program about 6 years ago called Leadership Lessons from Half Court. And I actually do more leadership presentations than I do the other keynote. And I've branched out some. I do some workshops. I wrote a book called The Coaching of Miracle, which I show a cover copy here. And then and more recently is that, you know, when COVID shut down the world for a while, I got to admit I didn't transfer very quickly to the virtual world. Now I do virtual presentations, but I in the sideways of the COVID, I actually decided that I was going to try to help young and emerging leaders. That's kind of my major focus right now. And so myself and a college professor were working on a second book on that. And also a young man, there's three of us, we call it a tri-generational podcast called the Limitless Leadership Lounge, where we try to help young and emerging leaders. And we've been doing that. We actually just completed our first year a couple weeks ago. So well, those good. Are kind of things. And I'm finally starting to get back. And actually, I just last week was in New York City for a conference where I spoke and actually shared my leadership presentation. So
excellent. Yeah, well, congratulations on all of that. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I've seen the story about JMAC before. Mm-hmm. So anything like that is just truly heartening.
Yeah, thank you.
See things like that happen. So, if you're focused on young and emerging leaders, so how do you define them, and how do they find you for help?
So, answer quickly that, you know, my website is coachjimjohnson.com. That way I wouldn't forget it. And with that in mind, what I do is I've done some individual coaching, but I do a lot of presentations and I do workshops on leadership and also goal setting and that type of thing. But to define young and emerging leaders, why we capture both, because I worked in high school for three decades. You know, I think high school people and certainly middle school as well, you know, they're trying to figure out life. And leadership is a fascinating subject that we don't get taught a whole lot about when we're young. And so I really want to try to help the learning curve. And that's also why I've done more presentations to college students. I really enjoy working with them as well, because they're trying to figure out life. And, you know, we all hear about leadership, but we really don't. You know, unless you really study it, you don't really know much about, you know, like they say, you know, some people are born leaders, maybe to a little bit of degree, but most of the time, people that are effective leaders are people that really invest time in trying to learn how to be a great leader and then, you know, putting that into practice. And then as far as the emerging leaders, because I like talking to business people as well, is, you know, people that are, you know, making that transfer from, and a great illustration I've seen a lot is the famous person that's a really good salesperson and they do such a great job, then all of a sudden, well, we got to promote this him or her. And what do? They become promoted to become the sales manager and they struggle because it's two different things. Leading yourself, which is where it starts, and being a good salesperson, you can be very effective, but you can butcher being a leader of others if you don't know how to lead. So that's what I want to do. I want to help people that are trying to make that transition into a leadership position to, again, cut that learning curve to help people so they can become a more effective leader quicker, I guess would be the best way of putting it.
Yeah, well, that's great. What you're doing, I think, is greatly needed, because I've seen over my years dozens and dozens and dozens of people that are in leadership roles but have no idea what leadership means. So if there's any way that you can help people before they get there, and if they're willing, help them after they're there, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you do most of your business through speaking and workshops?
I do most of my business. I do a little bit of coaching. In fact, I'm talking to a business here locally about doing some leadership consultation where I'll probably do a few presentations, but also do some one-on-one coaching. But, you know, for me, the more I've gotten into it, leadership is such a fascinating subject. And it's, you know, never gets dull for me, because there's always things to learn. And, you know, and I mean, obviously, from starting how to build relationships, like I just attended it's called the Global Leadership Summit. It's out of Chicago, but they stream it all over the country. And there was a local site, and I was just there for 2 days. And it's fascinating just to hear different people. Because you do hear, I heard this comment from your way, Patrick Lencioni. He made this comment, and I've used it a lot because I really like it, is that the leader should be called the CRO, which is the chief reminding officer, that you got to be consistently sharing the values, the mission of the organization. And so I've used that a lot because I really felt, you know, and since I've been retired from coaching, that I, you know, a lot of the things that I picked up later in my career, I didn't use that terminology, but that's what I became effective at. I really became clear on what our mission and what we were trying to accomplish and having clarity of our goals. And the better we did that is the old adage, when you confuse, you lose. And we wanted to win. So we were trying to really add clarity to everything we did.
Yeah. And taking it from a sports background kind of makes it even better, because obviously your goals, when you start the season, you want to win the championship.
Right.
And that's your mission and your purpose. But each step along the way, you got to do it game by game. Well, I think I lost you there. Well, now you're back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I don't either. That's all right. We can take care of that. But one of these got, I now have two images of you. One is frozen and one isn't, but that's okay. There you go. Now we're back.
All right.
So did you hear what I said about the, you know, from an athletic or a team sport point of view?
Yeah, you said, you know, your goal is to win a championship, and then we cut out. So I don't know if you said anything after
Yeah,
that.
Then I said that, you know, then you achieve that championship by doing the best you can and hopefully winning it game by game by game by game.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good way to, when I was, you know, doing workshops and all that stuff, I used a lot of sports analogies, because it was having a background in sports, it was easy for me to relate those types of stories.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So how's your book doing for you? Does it, well, let me ask you a question first. Did you write your book initially as, say, a legacy book, one that's going to offer some of your expertise to live on and benefit others? Or did you do it as a potential lead generation book, or maybe both?
Well, it was certainly more, the first book was you know, sharing the story, but we made it evergreen because it was based a lot on what my first keynote was about. So the first six chapters were my keys to helping people have their dreams come true. And then we added a few more chapters to just give a little more enhancement, because in the book you can go a little bit longer than you can in a keynote. So that was the idea. You know, and to be frank with you, back then, Brian, I was just getting into speaking. So, you know, things like lead generators, they're very familiar to me right now, but at that point I was pretty clueless. In fact, I'll tell you a quick funny story. I joined the National Speakers Association about 12 years ago. And the first time I went to one of their conferences, I went to a breakout session with Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, you know, the two guys from Chicken Soup.
Right. Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, they obviously by then they had exploded and all that. And there was about 50 of us in the room, and their workshop was really good. But they said, hey, has anybody ever been on Oprah? And I raised my hand and I looked around, and there was no one else in the room that was on Oprah. So, you know, so it was just fascinating. But, you know, other things like building a brand and lead man ideas and all those different things. I mean, I've learned a lot about, you know, making the transition from being a teacher to now, you know, a business person. So all those things at one time. So I never thought of my book being a lead magnet until I started to learn about what a lead magnet is. And I realized, yeah, actually it can help me a lead magnet.
Sure. So has it achieved bestseller status?
It is not, you know, I never, again, when we released the book, I mean, it sold decently well. But I never, you know, like I didn't get on in like an Amazon bestselling or, you know, it certainly wasn't in New York Times. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, if you, you know, I know that like the average book sells like 80 copies. I mean, something absurd. And I've sold well over 10,000 copies. So, it's not like I'm not a multimillionaire because of my book. But, you know, when I see what most books sell, I'm pretty proud that, you know, it's sold pretty well over the years. So.
Reason I ask is, you know, we've had some clients that we've helped get to the bestseller status, and it really makes a big difference in their ability to get invited to speak in media
Right. Events
and bringing leads like that. So it's, and there's a way to do it. So it, you know, can continue to achieve those results. So it's kind of fun to watch.
Right.
That happening. So, and you're just getting started with a podcast too?
Yeah. So I've done a podcast for just over a year now. We just finished, I think we've done 53 or 54 releases every week. It's called Limitless Leadership Lounge. And, you know, again, our focus is to try to help young and emerging leaders.
So who do you focus on as being guests?
So in guests, we try to obviously talk to leaders. So we've had leaders in the educational, we've had leaders in business, we've had best-selling authors. I mean, I guess the nice part, because I joined the National Speakers Association, is I've gotten some pretty good connections. And actually, you just never know. Like, I'm sure you're familiar with Starbucks and Howard Schultz, but his right-hand man was a guy named Howard Bahar that helped really grow the business. And I actually heard Howard on another podcast, and he shared his email and his phone number. So, you know, I said, you know what? He'd be a great guest for ours. And I said, what the heck? So I ended up emailing him. I bought his book and read it. And we ended up having a conversation, and he ended up being a guest on our podcast. So it was pretty cool.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Have you ever considered inviting potential leaders to be the guests on your podcast, those that would be interested in using your service, attending your workshops?
You know, we've done a little bit of that. Like one of the things that we're going to do this fall is we're going to do a few different with college students. And we actually, in last May, we did an interview with four or five high school students. So we haven't done a lot of, you know, younger leaders. We've done a couple. But most of the leaders we've done have been more experienced leaders. So
okay, all right. Well, if it's working for you, it's working. That's the best thing. So I really think what you're doing is greatly needed, especially with younger people. You know, that's, I'm kind of transitioning to just help younger folks when I can, because if the sooner you get them, the better off they're going to be as they transition through their lives and their business lives, whether they're business owners or they choose to pursue a career of some sort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% with you, Brian.
Yeah. Thank good. I we got to take advantage of our youth and get them on the right track early.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts, Coach, and want to let people at least know where to get your book and how to access your podcast and your website, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So I'll just give you a quick review, and then I'll have one little challenge for the audience. And so my website is coachjimjohnson.com. I'd be glad to share my personal email because I love talking to people, and I'm going to actually offer. So my personal email is jjhoops@rochester.rr.com. And I'd be glad to give my personal cell phone because I'm open. If people want to reach out to me, it's 585-764-0220. And if I can ever help you with anything, and as I mentioned, our podcast is called the Limitless Leadership Lounge. On my website, I have a free newsletter. We do a weekly free blog. And I also have a YouTube channel, Coach Jim Johnson, where I do a lot of different information. So try to help people in many different avenues in moving through life here.
Excellent. Excellent. So
the challenge I'll say is, you know, is that we've had a lot of difficulty the last few years. Obviously, COVID was a challenge for so many, including myself. But you know, the one thing I've always taken my pride in being a uniter, and my challenge to everybody is to let's really concentrate on how we can be kinder and more respectful to each other and respect people's opinions without having to make it a fight. So let's be kinder to each other and make it a better world for all.
Excellent, excellent advice. And I can't think of a better way to end this episode. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian. It's great to talk to you.
Great. Well, that's a wrap on another great guest episode for the Evolvepreneur Secrets Show for Entrepreneurs. And before you go, if you like this episode, we would be very grateful for a 5-star review. And if you'd be so kind, please consider recommending the show to a friend or two. And also make sure that you subscribe for future episodes at evolvepreneursecrets.show. Until next time, and if you're an entrepreneur, make a start on your next great idea today. Thank you.